Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. If this nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone, we are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at ScottHorton.org or TheWarState.com.
Hey y'all, how's it going? Welcome back. All right, next up on the show is Mike Meharry from the 10th Amendment Center. That is 10thAmendmentCenter.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike. How are you doing?
Hey, Scott. I'm doing good. I always love coming on your show because you've got like the best bump music of any show anywhere.
I do have really good bumper music.
It rocks.
Yeah. Actually, that one belongs to me. Well, it's called Dang Old Bobby, but it's a friend of mine wrote that just to be theme music on this show.
That's awesome.
But most of it is not, just that one. Anyway, so hey, thanks, and welcome back to the show. Very good to have you here. Thanks for doing what you do and writing the things you write and saying the things you say. I really appreciate it. Six state laws nullifying federal actions in practice go into effect for immediate release August 3rd, it says here at 10thAmendmentCenter.com. So let's start with the FDA.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite actions that states have engaged in over the last year or so. And this is one of those things that just kind of blew up this year. We've got these laws that are called right to try laws. And basically what they do is they cut through the FDA bureaucratic red tape by completely ignoring it and create a mechanism within a state where people can access unapproved treatments and medications if they're critically ill or considered to be possibly terminally ill. So as it is now under FDA rules, you have to go through all kinds of bureaucratic red tape. You basically got to get federal permission to try out these drugs that could well save your life. 22 states now have put laws on the books that bypass the FDA. They allow people to access those medications within that state without the FDA approval or the process. And they also provide some shielding for the manufacturers and the doctors that help them, you know, be able to offer these experimental drugs. So, you know, this is a no-brainer. How in the world can you look at somebody in the eye and say, you know what, we really sorry that you're dying, but, you know, you're going to have to wait 6 months while we approve your application. You know, it's just absurd. And this is one of those things that crosses party lines. And like I said, 22 states have passed these types of law. Three states went into effect on August 1st as Alabama, Minnesota and North Dakota, if I'm not mistaken off the top of my head. So three more states where you can get treatment if you need it without having to deal with the feds.
And so that counts for people who just say, well, screw this, I'm going to North Dakota or whatever too, right?
As far as I know, it does. You know, I imagine you would probably have to have a doctor there in North Dakota.
Sure.
Maybe you could take your doctor with you. But yeah, as long as you're within the border of the states, the state laws govern what happens there.
People really need to know about this. And you know what? Again, like you're saying, as far as it being a no-brainer, it's also, it shouldn't be political at all. The only reason it's political is because of the lobbyists of Big Pharma and the power of the national government. But for any person of any description at all in America, as long as they're adults, this ought to be absolute unanimous consensus. And how dare they stand between people and their last gasp, dying chance at prolonging their life or, you know, surviving. It's just crazy to think that, that the federal government would dare stand in the way like this. Although, I guess on the other hand, Mike, that, you know, a lot of government school graduates would counter that, come on, you know, these companies are going to be putting out all kinds of crazy medicines, and there's a FDA for a reason to protect us from these terrible, you know, capitalists just selling us poison. They don't care if we die, so we need the government to go through, make them go through the process and double check these drugs and make sure they're safe.
yeah, it's kind of an absurd article or argument when you break it down, though, because basically people – what they're saying is, you know, we got to protect you and the government's going to protect you, so we're going to let you die while we protect you. You know, that's absurd. And, you know, we have doctors for a reason. Doctors are they're trained. They can weigh the risks and benefits of these various medications. And we're talking about people here who – this is their last chance, you know. And this should be up to the doctor and the individual, not some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. So, you know, this whole idea that we need some guy in a suit and tie sitting at a desk in an office on Capitol Hill to make these decisions for us is just absurd. And, yeah. You know, I think anybody that says that has their head up the wrong place, to be quite blunt.
Yeah. Well, again, yeah, I mean, no matter who you are or where you're from, it's basically just, you know, as you said, kind of beyond argument. And I think, you know, the next step here, you say we got 22 states now passed laws like this. Well, then that means that we got a lot of millions of Americans who ought to be very jealous of that and very angry at their state representatives for allowing it to be that way, that their state is not one of the states that would allow this. And what are they waiting for? And this ought to be, you know, a no-brainer as an easy political win for any state congressman or state senator anywhere in America that, you know, look at me, I'm the champion of dying old ladies. Who can argue with that?
That's exactly right. And, you know, nobody has. When you look at the vote totals in the various legislatures in these states where this has passed, it's not even been close. In a lot of cases, you're seeing unanimous votes, or you'll see two or three pinheads that vote against it for whatever crazy reason. And this is this is the fastest moving state movement I've ever seen. Most of these things, it takes a while. You know, you look at the drones, and this has been a really good year for drones as well. But that's taken 3 or 4 years to kind of build. You know, it took a couple of states taking that tentative first step, and then it's built from there. This basically started last year with Arizona. They actually passed it on a voter referendum. And once that happened, you know, to see 22 states pass something like this, and there's two other states that have passed it, and they're still waiting for governor's signature. So that's actually 24. Mm. When you see that many states in 1 year, you know, that's pretty significant, and shows just how much of a unanimity we're seeing on this particular issue.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sorry I don't have a footnote here, but there was a study that came out not long ago where they looked back at drugs that had been approved that turned out it was a big mistake and they were much more dangerous than the FDA thought. And drugs that were denied or withheld for some long period of time, but then it turned out they were okay and could have saved this and that many lives, that the FDA ultimately is more violent than the Pentagon. They actually kill more people than any other government agency, which is really saying something. Department of Transportation, CIA, DOD, but the FDA, they're the most lethal of all.
That's an incredible statistic. And, I'm not – you know, this isn't something that I'm really in depth nuts and bolts on. I understand this legislation, but it's not something I've really studied. But even from my basic knowledge, I've seen numerous cases, and I've actually known people that have wanted to access treatments that are readily available in Europe and have actually had to get on a plane and go to Europe to access these treatments because the FDA refuses for whatever reason to approve them. So, you know, this is a very real thing, and to deny these people thing, it just boggles my mind. You know, like you said, you're looking at this poor person that's suffering from this disease, and you're saying, I don't know. I don't know if you should have this or not.
Yeah.
I guess that's the state for you, right?
Yeah. Well, exactly, because it's the incentive structure of the whole thing, right? Anybody in charge of enforcing that against you is not in charge of deciding that that's the rule. And so they all just, you know, for the paycheck, they make their peace very quickly with their job being to say to people, I'm sorry, but that's what the computer says. That's what the rule says. That's the way it has to be. And so, you know, but I'll see you at your funeral, though, and I'll throw a little rose on the ground for you.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you see this on all kinds of different issues, and the you know, this is kind of getting off topic a little bit, but that, you know, gets to this idea of it just drives me crazy when people are so, well, we've got to respect their authority, you know, we've got to respect the process and the system. Well, the process and system sucks, so, you know, maybe it's time that we start breaking that down a little bit. And that's the neat thing about doing these things through your state government. So it gives you a little bit of power to face down that power, so you're not standing there as a single individual trying to beat your head against this this massive marble wall.
Yeah, give you some respectability as you disrespect.
Exactly.
All right, now hold it right there, everybody, because when we get back, we're going to talk with Mike Meharry about other ways the government is screwing you, the national government, that is, and other ways that the 10th Amendment Center is working to use the power of the state governments to nullify and interpose themselves between the people and the national government. One sec. Hey, I'll Scott Horton here. It's always safe to say that one should keep at least some of your savings in precious metals as a hedge against inflation. If this economy ever does heat back up and the banks start expanding credit, rising prices could make metals a very profitable bet. Since 1977, Robertson Roberts Brokerage, Inc. has been helping people buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and they do it well. They're fast, reliable, and trusted for more than 35 years. And they take Bitcoin. Call Robertson Roberts at 1-800-874-9760 or stop by rrbi.co. All right, y'all, welcome back. It's me, Scott. I'm doing my radio show. I got Mike Meharry on the line. He's from the 10th Amendment Center. And now we spent the whole first segment on the states interposing themselves between the people and the national government. 22 of them, 24 if you count the two, just waiting on a governor's signature to allow people to take medicine if they want to, whether it's approved by the FDA or not, assuming they're in real dire straits anyway. So, that's going on. But now we have quite a few topics to tackle in this next segment here. And I'll just name them and then turn it over to you. We got 10 minutes to go. So, first of all, hemp. National government says no hemp. State government say go ahead. And then, ooh, the license plate trackers. Very interesting news out of Montana there. And then I wanted to end with, it's not in this press release, but I wanted to, at the end of the interview, if we could, get to, the latest progress in the Off Now campaign to nullify the NSA. So, Mike, first of all, tell us about the progress in nullifying the federal hemp laws.
Another one to me that's a no-brainer. And, yeah, especially I live in Kentucky, and Kentucky used to be the number one state in the country in growing hemp. It's a product that has like 25,000 uses, everything from biofuel to panels for automobiles to food, you know, just so many things you can do with this plant. And yet the federal government says, no, can't grow it because it looks a little bit like marijuana. So we're starting to see a number of states that are saying, you know what, state government or federal government, you go ahead and try to enforce your ban on hemp. We're going to let people grow it in our state and go ahead and create a market for this plant. In North Dakota, their hemp law went into effect on Saturday, and they joined 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 other states that are allowing hemp production. And what this does, it doesn't stop the federal government from enforcing its hemp ban, but the ugly truth is, as far as the federal government goes, is they don't have the resources or the manpower to go into these states and stop farmers from growing this plant. And every state where we've seen the states take down their barriers to growing hemp, we've seen people start growing hemp. There's been actual crops that have been harvested in Colorado and in Vermont and in some of these other states. And what I guarantee you we're going to see is we're going to see these states, they're going to begin developing these markets. People are going to begin manufacturing the various products with them. And other states are going to look and say, hey, look what North Dakota's doing. Look what Tennessee's doing. Look what South Carolina's doing. They're over here and they're growing this plant and making these products, and you know, we should join them. And I guarantee you, within 5 years, the federal hemp ban, even if it's still on the books, is not going to exist in practice. And that's a good thing, because this is something that these farmers need. You know, like I said, I'm here in Kentucky, and the crackdown on tobacco has just devastated the agricultural industry in this state. Hemp would be a perfect thing to fill that void. It grows anywhere. Yeah. And
pot is already the largest cash crop in Kentucky, so you might as well grow hemp.
Well, absolutely. And that's another thing that's been essentially nullified. You know, the federal government continues to insist that it's going to ban marijuana. And now we have more than 20 states with medical marijuana legalized. And then we've got good old Colorado and Washington and Alaska that are allowing it for recreational use, and maybe Oregon too. This is great. The federal government should not be dictating these things to the people of the state. People in Colorado want legalized marijuana. Who is some dude in D.C. to say they can't?
And you know what? If logging and chemical interests can get hemp banned way back in the 30s and all that under President for Life Roosevelt and all that, there are a lot more wide and varied special interests who could profit and benefit from industrial hemp. I mean, you talk about farmers. I don't even think of some old man in a straw hat. I just think of Archer Daniels Midland and Monsanto, and just think of all the billions of dollars they could be making, the thousands of dollars it would take for them to spend on lobbying in order to make millions and even billions on the trade, the open market trade in industrial hemp products. So that's who you need to get on board right there, and you're done, really.
Absolutely. So that's another law that went into effect on Saturday. And then let's talk about spying for just a minute while we close out. Also in North Dakota and I believe Minnesota is where the license plate reader law passed and went into effect. And then North Dakota, a law restricting drone surveillance went into effect. And these don't directly impact the federal government. You may say, hey, what difference does it make to the federal government whether or not North Dakota allows drone surveillance? Well, the fact of the matter is, with both the drones and these license plate readers, the federal government funds them at the state level, and then they tap into the information that they gather. And you got these huge databases that the DEA and all of these other alphabet agencies in D.C. are creating using data that's gathered by the states, using the equipment that the federal government's paying for. So if you want to attack the surveillance state, you've got to also attack what's going on at your state and local level. So every state that limits the use of drones and that limits the use of these license plate readers, that limits the amount of information that's available for the federal government to tap in and track you all around the country. So
right. And that ought to really offend people's sensibilities too. Like out of all the Snowden revelations, the one that they're keeping all of our cell phone location data forever. In other words, tracking every living room we've been in, every car we've ridden in, and who else was in it too, you know, for years going back. I mean, this is the ultimate violation of privacy. The license plate readers along the very same lines. Highly
Absolutely.
Objectionable. Should be to anyone.
Absolutely. And, you know, a website, one of the techie websites, I can't remember off the top of my head which one it was, but they actually did an experiment where they tracked this guy's cell phone. He let them do it, you know, and they went in and got all of his location. You could tell so much about this guy's life, you know, what political interest he has, where he goes to church, whether or not he's on medication. So many things that you can deduce just from knowing where people go. Absolutely. You want to talk about violation of privacy. And the federal government's taking this stuff and just storing it away forever. So by limiting it at the state level, by saying, you know what, we're only going to allow it to be collected with a warrant. You're not allowed to store it. By putting any limits at all, you're keeping that out of the hands of the federal surveillance state. And it's an indirect way to attack something that's going on at the federal level. And like I said earlier when we were talking, the limits on drones has really grown. We've seen a lot of states finally say, you know what, we've got to do something about this drone surveillance. Mm. Or you're going to have – like the dude in Kentucky just shot the one down that was over his house.
Right.
Which, you know, it's another solution.
Yep. Well, you know, a couple of missing children stories and that kind of thing, and they'll just have predators and reapers over every major city in America for too long. Then again, like you say, regular folk, actual people, other than just special interest groups, actual people have, you know, can have a lot more effect at the state level. I think you guys are proving that all the time. Than you know, most of us on the outs of the political class would possibly imagine. So, you know, real progress, as you're saying, is being made. I don't mean to sound like such a downer, and I'm keeping you into the break here, but I gotta get at least 1 minute from you, if I could, please, about the off now, and progress in the campaign against the National Security Agency.
Well, you know, like I said, part of what we're doing at Off Now does involve these local initiatives, and that's where we've seen the most success. We had two of the Off Now bills that would actually limit the resources to the NSA itself, make it out of at least one house at a state level. That was in Maine and in Montana this year. And then we had, I think, 15 bills that were introduced that either made it out of committees or that didn't make it through a House or didn't even make it out of committee. So, you know, some people might look at that and be discouraged. I'm encouraged simply by the fact that, hey, who would have ever thought, you know what, we're going to have a movement where we're going to turn off resources to NSA. And we're not going to give up. We're going to keep pressing it. We're going to keep pressing it in Utah. We're looking at some things that we can actually do at the local level in Bluffdale, Utah, as a way to get around some of the resistance that we're finding at the state level. There are ways for people to engage against these things. We have to be creative and we have to be persistent with it, because I tell you what, we have learned that without a doubt the powers that be, the law enforcement lobbies, all of these people, whenever we try to do this, they're going to come out strong against us. So we need people to support this movement. We need people to keep bugging and pestering their state lawmakers and saying, we want to limit the surveillance state by taking action at our state level. And you can do that over at offnow.org. Just head over there. There's some ways you can join and get involved and we can beat back this surveillance state.
Awesome. All right, everybody. That's Mike Meharry. You can tell why he is communications director at the 10th Amendment Center. That's 10thamendmentcenter.com and offnow.org. Thanks very much for your time again, Mike. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me always, man.
This part of the Scott Horton Show is sponsored by audible.com. And right now, if you go to audibletrial.com/Scott Horton Show, you can get your first audiobook for free. Of course, I'm recommending Michael Swanson's book, The War State, The Cold War Origins of the Military-Industrial Complex and the Power Elite. Maybe you've already bought The War State in paperback, but you just can't find the time to read it. Well, now you can listen while you're out marching around. Get the free audiobook of The War State by Michael Swanson, produced by Listen and Think Audio, at audibletrial.com/Scott Horton Show.
Hey, y'all, guess what? You can now order transcripts of any interview I've done for the incredibly reasonable price of $2.50 each. Listen, finding a good transcriptionist is near impossible, but I've got one now. Just go to scotthorton.org/transcripts, enter the name and date of the interview you want written up, click the PayPal button, and I'll have it in your email in 72 hours max. You don't need a PayPal account to do this. Man, I'm really going to have to learn how to talk more good. That's scotthorton.org/transcripts.
Hey, I'll check out the audiobook of Lou Rockwell's Fascism vs. Capitalism, narrated by me, Scott Horton, at audible.com. It's a great collection of his essays and speeches on the important tradition of liberty. From medieval history to the Ron Paul Revolution, Rockwell blasts our status enemies, profiles our greatest libertarian heroes, and prescribes the path forward in the battle against Leviathan. Fascism vs. Capitalism by Lou Rockwell for audiobook. Find it at Audible, Amazon, iTunes, or just click in the right margin of my website at scotthorton.org.